Well, welcome back. This is the third in a series, beginning with successfully managing the stress of change and then projecting a positive into the unknown. And today's about turning worries into goals. Now, we want to make sure that the people who are here are people who have some worries. So, because if you really don't have any, you can skip this session. But my experience is that most people do have some. It's just kind of how we're taught to think and feel and behave. And I'd like to take a minute, just a quick review on some of the program's kind of basic concepts. This is called the levels of being. Levels of being. Everybody's got thoughts. Everybody has emotions. Everybody has behavior. You have results in your life in terms of your money, your bank account, your health, your career, your possessions, your relationships. What we may be unaware of is the relationship between these. And the way I look at it is this is hierarchical and causal. So how you think causes how you feel. How you feel causes how you behave, and your behavior produces results. Now, the only exception to this is if you have some chemical or neurological damage. That'll throw this all out of whack. And that'll create, you know, aberrant thought and emotion and behavior. And those are times when medication is necessary. And it is helpful. Makes a difference. Your negative thoughts produce negative emotion. Your negative emotion produces negative behavior and produce what I call ineffective results. Positive emotions produce positive behaviors and effective results. Now, the good news is that the worst you'll ever be is just ineffective. Just not producing the results you want in any particular moment. And the challenge is to learn how to discover this avalanche at the snowflake. Because when you don't know this levels of being thing and you don't like the results in your life, a lot of times what we believe is we have to change the results around to get new results. So if we want someone to be attractive to us, you know, what will be attracted to us, then maybe we'll go, you know, and get some more hair in the top of our head, or, you know, go do some exercise or something like that, or change the way our body looks, then they'll like us better. Or maybe if we use some of our money and buy them some gifts, then they'll like us better. Or maybe if we want to do something with career changes, maybe if we, you know, learn about networking, you know, and who you know, and then you'll change. But the problem is, as long as the same belief systems are moving down through you, you're going to produce the same results. Just like this client in counseling that I had who was married 8 times. It's like a hobby. And she had a very interesting complaint. Her complaint was they were all the same. I went, surprise, surprise. You know, like, what's the common denominator here? You know, because she didn't think she had anything to do with the fact that that's the way it was. Because she had a belief that's the way men are. So, ladies, have you ever had that thought? Be careful. What we're going to do today is learning about how to, like I said, stop the avalanche at the snowflake and learn how to move from the negative to the positive. Because there are only 5 things you can control in your life, basically. And most stress is about trying to control things. But there are only 5. You can control the shape of your mouth. You can control how much air you have in your lungs. Some of us need practice on that. The third thing is you can control the amount of tension that you have in your muscles. But that does require some training to learn how to be relaxed all throughout the day. We can control what we put in our mouth. But some of us need more practice on that too. And we can control our second thought. As you're going to see, you probably cannot control your initial reaction to anything. Your initial reaction is pretty much determined. Now, there are some powerful physiological reasons why this is true. Your brain has a powerful and wonderful mechanism. Whenever you perceive a danger, your pituitary gland produces adrenal corticotropic hormone, which stimulates the adrenal glands. That in turn stimulates the kidneys, and the glucocorticoids produce cortisol, which eats up protein that normally is used to create white blood cells in the body to make your immune system better. But in a moment of danger, you really need more glucose and glycogen for your nerves and muscles. And this is very ancient, so I'd like you to pretend like, you know, it's cave person days, you know, you're an old cave person, and you just had a big meal, and you're walking out of the cave to walk off the meal, and you walk around a bush, and all of a sudden you see a saber-toothed tiger. Now, at this moment, would you rather have more white blood cells or faster legs? Faster legs. And that does this. Also, the catecholamines come down and shut down your gastrointestinal system and shifts energy again over into the nerves and muscles. So in that moment, would you rather have your food digested or would you rather be food to be digested? And this is superhuman energy. It's what gives, like a mother who sees their child underneath the car, the ability to go over and pick up the car. You know, immediate, powerful energy, and it's good. The problem is, it's really designed for like saber-toothed tigers. You know, not for like stoplights. Okay, not when there's a threat to your planner, you know, or to your bank account. And what we do is we do this thing 20 or 30 times a day. And it gets to be a habit of how we're responding to stuff. And there was a study done last year that said that women who work and have children at home, anyone fit in that category? It's like you live in this, you know? And you have to learn how to make a shift in these automatic ways that we behave. One of the things we talked about in the first session was this automatic stress reaction. When we're forced to stop and wait, we go through what we call the automatic stress reaction. We tend to hold our breath, tense our muscles, have self-doubt, think negative, and get serious. Remember Henry Ford's quote, there are people who think they can, and there are people who think they can't, and they're all right. And we personalized it to whether I think I can or I think I can't, I'm right. And all my stress, all my worry, all my upset is only when I think I can't. When I think I can't. Self-doubt and thinking negative. And this is a habit we have of projecting a negative into the unknown. How many of you have ever had the experience of worrying about being late, you know, to something, and you're in your car and you get anxious and you're trying to figure out how can you get out of the freeway, can you get on an access road, is there a quicker way, and you're kind of squirming in your chair and, you know, palms are maybe get a little sweaty and you start worrying about what you have to figure out what you're going to say when you get there so you have a good explanation for why you're late, you know. And have you gone through that whole thing and when you got there you were on time? I mean, what are we doing there, practicing being upset? How many of you know how to be upset? I mean, like if you ever need to, you know how to do that. Absolutely. What I want to help you learn how to do is not to prevent that from happening. Not to prevent yourself from ever worrying or being upset. I don't think that's possible. It may not even be good. What you can learn how to do is notice it and have an alternative to move through it quicker. What you can learn how to do is choose that second thought. That's the fifth thing you can control, your second thought, not your first thought. First thought is just conditioned, trance-like habit. Just the way we've learned to be in life. But you can learn to control your second thought. In general, to change from the automatic stress reaction to the stress management response, which is, by the way, the opposite of each one. So the opposite of limiting your breath is to breathe deeper. The opposite of tense muscles is relax completely. Of doubting yourself is to reassure yourself of your value, of your worth, of your ability, of your talent. To think positive, not in a Pollyannish rose-colored glasses kind of way, but if there's a problem, there's a solution. That I don't need to know the how in order to believe I can. In fact, by believing that I can, I'll figure out the how. That's a big transition you can make. And then to learn how to look for the humor. And when you practice this at the stoplight, at the grocery store, when the computer goes down, that ever happen? When someone isn't doing what you want them to do. In the elementary school lessons of life. Then when the graduate school lessons come, which they will, the big challenging things in life, we're not going to get through it without having to deal with some of these things. You will have developed a habit, an ability, a strength that will carry you through those as well. Because I think there's only these two choices. You're either learning how to do the automatic stress reaction or you're learning how to do the stress manager response. And you already know how to do this one really well. You're really good at this. Probably don't have to practice that anymore. But what you do need to learn how to do is notice this when it's happening. Notice it for what it is and realize that there is a better way that you could develop. Now, in the program that we can do here, all we can really do is sketch this out, say this is there, this works. There are tools and techniques available in each one of these that will take you farther in your ability to master each ability. Then you stack that on top of each other, and this breathing triggers the relaxation. The relaxation triggers reassuring yourself. The reassuring yourself moves you into a process that I'm going to teach you today about how to change a negative thought that you believe into a positive thought and believe that. How to take a worry, which is a signpost pointing in a direction you don't want to go. Isn't that true? When you're worrying about something, aren't you thinking about horrible disasters, terrible thoughts, of possibilities you don't want to have happen? Now, when you're driving down the freeway and you see a sign that's pointing in a direction you don't want to go, do you turn and go that way? No, you don't want to go that way. But in your mind, you will. When we start to worry about a possibility, because it's a possibility, we start to experience it as a probability. And there's a big difference. We start to experience that probability as a reality, and our body doesn't know the difference between what you vividly imagine and what's actual reality. Another thing I'm going to help you learn today is to distinguish fantasy from reality. Because fantasy is where we scare ourselves. Reality is basically pretty safe. Learning to distinguish the two is going to be important for your health, but also important for your ability to be creative of success no matter where you are or what you're doing. These are just basic principles. I'm going to help you learn how to take that first fearful fantasy and flip it into its positive opposite possibility. Because almost always, the sign that's pointing in the direction you don't want to go, the opposite of it is the direction you do want to go. It's called a goal. And how to get your mind to notice this, which it already is doing quickly, it's already projecting that negative, and just ask yourself, what's the positive opposite possibility, to consider it, perhaps at least 51% of the time, and then start to actually take action steps to move in the direction of that goal. Then the worry really serves you. Because sometimes it's hard to just project that positive, but the worry can give us a hint by being the exact opposite of where we want to go. But there's a problem to the whole thing. On your first handout, at the bottom of the page, you have something my partner Stephen Haslam and I call the barrier of uncomfortableness. And you probably felt this at times. Anytime you move from what's familiar, remember the hand exercise we did with the thumbs, anytime you move from what's familiar to what's new, it's uncomfortable. Even if the new is something that you want, it's still uncomfortable. And this uncomfortableness acts as a barrier sometimes to getting to the new. Because what do some people do when they start to feel uncomfortable? They go back around into what's familiar. I mean, you know, the lady was married 8 times. I mean, even if what's familiar is painful, you would think we would get through this quicker. Oh, this is only uncomfortable. This is painful. But it's familiar. And people really get comfortable in a way with their stress. It's kind of a paradox. They get used to being frustrated and upset and worried and anxious. In fact, some people need it to trigger those chemicals to get the adrenaline to get going. If they're not scaring themselves with stress and worry and anxiety, they don't have the energy to accomplish things. How many of you, when you were in school, tended to wait to the last minute to study? You know? Oh, I have time, I have time, I have time, I have time. Also, no, I've got to do it. Now I've got the energy to open the book. You know? And we developed habits that don't serve us. The challenge is to learn how to get through this. And the stress management response is the way to do it. Now, I don't want to just talk to you about this. I want you to begin applying it to yourself. So in your handouts, turn to this next page. And I'd like you to take a moment to write down in the top two boxes, two worries at work, two worries at home. Two stresses at work, two stresses at home. Just take a minute to make a note to yourself right down to. Now, you may have a bunch, and you know, you probably could fill up the back of the page, but I'd just like you to limit it to two. And let me encourage you to choose two of importance. If you choose two silly stresses, then the process you're going to go through today is going to produce a silly response. If you choose something of importance, then you're going to get an important response, an important result out of this experience. So take a moment to scan your life, look at what are the worries, concerns, stresses that you're experiencing at work and at home, and take a moment just to write down two at work and two at home. And those of you who are watching on videotape, I'd like you to take a moment right now just to pause your VCR. Okay, everybody got two stresses at work and two stresses at home? Good. Then what I'd like you to do now is look over your list and pick one of them that you'd be willing to talk to a partner with. And so very quickly, I'm going to put you in pairs, and what I'd like the facilitator at the site to do is to put people in pairs as well, so that then you'll know who you're going to be talking to. So you're going to be taking a few moments to talk to your partner about one of the four. So pick one that you'd be willing to talk with them about. And let's go ahead and pause the video and have that conversation for about 5 minutes, and then we'll start the video again. Okay. You two, and 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 you two. Okay, let me just warn you not to try and fix it, solve it, or help them. You know, you might do it, and then you're just going to they'll have to go and get another one. So we want to cherish this stress and worry. Okay, let me have your attention. Now, we need to take a step deeper into your understanding of the stress to get to a process where we can produce a change. This is going to take about four steps. Each one has a few steps to it. Don't need to remember this process, because in the handouts is an explanation of it that you can use for later. But I'm going to take you through it one step at a time. And this process, I think, is real powerful. As we were talking about in the last session, this is something few people in the history of the world have really understood and known how to do and use. So you're going to be much more powerful and effective in your life just from understanding this process of how to turn worries into goals. And you're going to have lots and lots of practice. Now, on this page, I'd like you to take the worry that you talked about, and you see some lines there, and I'd like you to take the first line where it says, discovering the worry, and underneath that, on the line, first line, I'd like you to write one of the stresses, the one that you talked about with your partner, in just a few words on one line, don't use more than one line, just describe that stress or worry. Whichever one you talked about with your partner, write it down now on the first line. Just use enough words that describe that stress or worry. Good. Now I'm going to take you through a series of questions. And you need to have some piece of paper, another flyer, a napkin or something to use in this exercise. What I want to do is ask you, looking at this stress and worry that you've just identified, why is that so bad? What bad could happen? And whatever comes to mind, write it on the next line. Why is that so bad? What bad could happen? Whatever comes to mind, write it on the next line. I mean, there's something bad about it because you're worried about it. There's a stress involved. So just take a minute to think about it. Why is this so bad? What bad could happen? Whatever comes to mind, write it down. Don't think about it. And then cover up the first thing you wrote down so you can only see the second thing you wrote down. This is an important step to take. Cover up the first thing so you can just see the second thing. We're going to take a little trip into your unconscious, and this is an important part of it, to cover up the first part. Now look at the second part, and whether or not that's actually happening, I'd like you to imagine what it would feel like for that to be real in your life right now. Imagine that's what you have to deal with. Get a little emotional juices going here about it. Oh my gracious. And then ask yourself, why is that so bad? What bad could happen? And write it down on the next line. So you're looking at the second thing, imagining what that feels like, asking yourself, why is that so bad? What bad could happen? And whatever you come up with, you write it on the third line. And when you've finished, cover up the first two so you see only the third. Cover up the first two so you see only the third. Now, looking at the third thing, whether or not it's actually happening, imagine that it is. Imagine that this is real in your life now. I know it's getting worse. Imagine how that feels. If that were true and is what you have to deal with in your life. Again, get a little emotional juices going on it. And then ask yourself, why is that so bad? What bad could happen? And whatever you come up with, write it on the fourth line. And let me give you an example of mine. Stephen and I were in Norfolk doing some trainings for the Navy when they were closing down some bases, and we were putting together this model, and we wanted to have some personal examples. And so he asked me one of the things I was worried about. Well, one of the things I worry about is I've got these just stacks of material on my desk, things that are important that need to be gotten to that I'm just not able to get to. And it's a little understated to say that I have stacks of materials on my desk. I have two desks in a corner. They're both full. You can't even see the desks. We have so many important things to deal with that I have to take these things on the desk, these piles of material that are important to go through that I'm not having time to go through, and put in a box and put underneath the desk. And then we get so much that I have boxes in my trunk of my car and in my garage. These are all important things that need to be gone through. This is important material. We have found requests from clients for programs in this material. We've even found checks sent to us from clients that are in these stacks. This is important stuff that needs to be gone through. It's a big stress in my life. It's something I worry about. Now, why is that so bad? Well, that's bad because there's just a lot of work not getting done. You know, there's opportunities that we have that we're not following up on. People are calling us for programs and we're not getting back to them, which is what's so bad about that. We have clients that we're not getting back to. We're not reaching clients. Now, why is that so bad? Now, as you get deeper and deeper into your own worry, it starts to become more and more uniquely your concerns. Someone else having exactly the same situation, as you go deeper down into the levels, down seven or eight levels, are going to end up with different worries and concerns, as you'll see, because you may have the same ones at this level, but you may have different ones as you go down than I have. Because what's worrisome about not getting back to clients is that we're going to have a bad reputation. People are going to go, who are these guys? You know, we want to hire them, and they don't even return our phone calls, you know, and they don't get back to us as much as we need to. Then why is that bad? Well, that's bad because then we're going to lose business. Okay. Now, someone worrying about losing business might go to losing money next. But what I did was I went to losing staff, losing people to work with. If we don't have the income and the flow of business, we're not going to be able to have the people to work with. And why is that a problem? Well, for me, that's a problem not only because I would then not have people to have fun with at work, but I'd end up being alone again. I worked by myself for about 8 years. During that 8 years, in the beginning of my business, frankly, I didn't believe I could afford anyone to work with me. What I wasn't aware of is that actually, by hiring some people to help me, I made more money. But it was hard for me to imagine that for about 8 years. So that was a painful time, a difficult time, a lonely time. And I wouldn't want to have to go back to that again. But why would that be a problem? Why is that so bad? Well, in my mind, if I did, then that would become obvious that I'm a failure. Everyone would know, you know, Rob had a business and then he lost it. He just couldn't do the work. Now again, it's going to be unique for each person. Now why is that a problem? Well, for me, well then I'd get depressed. You know, and you can't be a depressed psychologist, so then I'd have to get a new career or job. Now each person's worry is going to be different. As you go down through the rest of this process, there are another 7 or 8 lines on the page. I want you to repeat the process that you've just gone through. I want you to cover up everything but the last thing. I want you to look at that for a moment and imagine that being real, that that is true in your life today, that you have to deal with that. Imagine what that would feel like. And then ask yourself, why is that so bad? What bad could happen? And come up with something else. Now, at some point, you might find yourself having some difficulty imagining what that might be. If you notice, I'm projecting a negative possibility into the future at each step along the way. But at some point, I take a turn to a judgment about myself. So sometimes that might be possible for you to then ask yourself, well, what would that mean about me? Because that's what bad about being alone again meant to me, is it meant I was a failure. And it's called a self-attribute. And so as you go down this process, you're either going to keep projecting worse and worse things into the future, or at some point you're going to turn and make a negative self-judgment. Now let me give you a caution. Some of you may at some point, you may already have done this, going, oh, well, that's not too bad. You know, I'll go do this, and you'll come out of it. You know, like in the bag person syndrome that was described in the first session on successfully managing the stress of change, a person gets down to being fired, but then they come back with, oh, I got a new job, making more money, having more fun. And if you believe that, that's going to make a difference in how you feel when you go through losing the job. You need to take a moment to keep yourself in this exercise going down the tubes. Don't turn it back up. I want this to go down the tubes until you're dead in the gutter, or you're in an insane asylum, or you have to move back home with your parents, or your kids have to move back home with you, or something like that. I want you to take it down the tubes. So take a minute to continue that process, and we're going to pause the videotape to let people take about 5 minutes to go ahead and follow this process of going down, looking at what's real, what's stressful, how does that feel, why is that so bad, asking the next thing. Don't just do it in your head, write it down and keep going. It's going to be important what you discover. Okay, again, how many of you died in the gutter? So I think a lot of people end up there. How many of you ended up with some negative self-belief about your value or your worth, you know? Those are the two great roots of the stress in our life. Some negative possibility in the future that we wouldn't want to have to deal with, basically because we wouldn't know how to do it successfully. Or some deep negative belief about ourselves that we think would be true based on our belief about some circumstance. Neither one are true, but that's the source of much of our stress. Now, how many of you have ever had a friend or family member who was worried about something and came to you talking about how upset they were and they were so worried, and you could tell that there was like nothing for them to worry about? Ever had that experience? And then you tell them, well, don't worry about that. And then what do they say? You don't understand. How could you say that? And they actually worry more because now you don't understand how serious it is, right? So that didn't help. Let me show you what to actually do. And I want you to do this with your partner. So between the two of you, you and your partner, decide on who's person A and who's person B real quick. Okay. Now, here's what I want you to do. We're going to start with A, and I want you to just very quickly read down your list of stresses that you just read down to your partner. You're going to read down the list. And B, when they get to the bottom, by the way, how many of you here have at the bottom of your list something that is real and actually happening right now today? I'm going to have to talk with you. So most of you, the last thing on your list is not true. Now, real means not that you're worried about it today, but that it's actually happening while you're sitting here in your chair. The last thing on your list is no. That's what I mean. If it's not happening right now while you're sitting here in your chair, then it's not real. Right? Say that again. No, you said it could be? For the time being. Okay, now notice, that's interesting. For the time being, it's not real. Now, I want you to be observant of your response to that, because it's a very typical response, and we're all going to deal with it as we go through this next exercise. A's going to talk B down through A's list. Then B's going to start with A at the bottom and ask two questions. The first question, looking at the bottom on the list, is this real? Meaning, is it true and happening right now? Not is it true that you worry about it. Not is it a real possibility. Real means it's happening right now while you're sitting in your chair. If it's not happening right now in your life, then by definition, it's not real. And people are invested in our fantasies, in our worries and our fears. So when you ask a person, is this real? They may say, well, not yet, you know. Or they might go, well, it could be. Or it would be bad if it was, you know. And they're kind of... No, the question is, it's like, you know, are you pregnant? You can't say, well, you know, a little bit. You know, you're either are or you aren't. It's either real or it's not. That's it. So the first question is this happening? Is this real and true in your life right now? If the answer is no, then B asks A, well, then what is true about that? For instance, let me take you through my process, because I want B to help A through their process. Then we're going to switch, and B is going to take A down B's list, and then A is going to ask these two questions back. And the first question is, you know, is this real? And if the answer is no, then what is real? And you need that person to say it, and I want to show you why. Because you already know that if you just tell your friend or family member that there's nothing for them to worry about, that they don't get that. All right? So when I did this with my partner, Stephen, and we went down my whole list of worries, then he started at the bottom and said, okay, are you having to find a new career? Well, no. Then what is true in relation to that, having to find a new career? Well, actually, I have a great career. You know, my career is growing. I love my career. I'm doing even better. Okay, then you go, are you depressed? No. Not depressed. Well, what is true? Well, actually, I'm really excited about what we're doing. It's just a thrilling thing to be doing. Are you a failure? Now, this is very important. When he asked this question, this is so powerful for me, because when we first did the process and he was asking me down the list, at here I was just kind of talking about it. But when I got down to here, my head went down on the table. It was like, oh no, I'm going to be alone, you know. And it was like, there was where the emotion was. So when we were coming back up, he knew that this is where my worry and stress really was. Now, probably no one would have told me, or I would have believed, that that was related to me having all these stacks. But it is, because that's where my mind went. So he asked you, are you a failure, Rob? And I went, well, actually, as I think about it, I'm more successful than I've ever been. Now, if when I was talking about worrying about being a failure and Stephen had said, oh, Rob, you know, you're more successful than you've ever been, would I have gotten that? No. This is a very powerful process to give a person the opportunity to just say for themselves what's true. So I got to say, I'm more successful than I've ever been, and I got it in a way I never had before because I said it and I realized it. So then he asked, are you alone? And I said, well, no, I have more people working with me than ever before. Are we losing staff? No, we actually were getting more staff. Are we losing business? No, we were actually getting more business. Now notice, I'm having these worries in the reality that's actually the opposite. But I'm off worrying about it not being that way. I wonder how often that's true for you. Remember, what percentage of the things you worry about are not happening at the moment you're worrying about them? 100%. Because if the thing is happening, do you have time to worry about it? No. So if you're worrying, it's because you got the time to worry. Then he asks, do we have a bad reputation? Well, no, not as far as I know. We get great reviews many times. The evaluations say, you know, the best programs I've ever attended. Great evaluations, good reviews. Are we not getting back to clients? Well, yeah, we're not getting back to clients. Is there work not getting done and followed up on? Yeah, there's work. Do I have stacks on my desk? Yeah, I have stacks on my desk. So these things are reality, and these things are fantasy. You want to go through this process of asking these questions to have your partner say what's true to themselves and to you about these worries. But you also want to find where the reality line is. Now, don't just jump and draw this line. I want you to take the opportunity to go through this process. A, talk B down through A's list, and B, ask those two questions. Is this happening? Is this real? If it's no, then tell me what is happening. And take the time, the few moments that we have, to actually do this process of saying what's true on each level until you get to the place where it is real, and then draw your line. And when everybody's got a line, then we're ready for the next step. So those of you who are watching on videotape, let's go ahead and pause it. And A, you begin talking, and B, you ask the questions. Okay, I'm curious, how many of you, like me, have your reality line, you know, somewhere in the top two or three? Okay. Does anyone have your reality line underneath the top one? Underneath the one? Okay. That's important to know. Does anyone have your reality line above the first one? A few people. Okay. Which means that one of your top four stresses is about something that's not even real, which should be a great relief. But notice the tendency of the mind to go, but it could be. It might be. It would be bad if it does. Notice it's hard for us to just stand safely on the reality of the present because the future might be bad. We might have this horrible, terrible experience in the future, which we have never had in our life. You know, I worried about not having enough money, you know, because I'm self-employed. I don't have anyone pretending to guarantee me a salary this year. You know, did you get that? Okay. And you don't either. And it's not just true about you and this company. It's true about anybody in any company. Now, our parents had a different experience. But there is no job you will ever get now that you have a guaranteed future unless you want to move to Japan or something. And even that's changing. That forces us to make a change. It forces us to deal with a reality that many of us have tried to avoid dealing with by having a secure job. But it gives you a freedom and a power. And let me recommend a book called Do What You Love and the Money Will Follow. It may not make sense to your mind, but I'm glad you're thinking that it does, by Susan Vicount. Do What You Love and the Money Will Follow. It's a powerful book for laying a new foundation in your mind. Now, money is a big issue for most people. So here's a second book. It's called Money is My Friend by Phil Lout. And what Phil has done is designed a wonderful process for us discovering what negative beliefs we have about money or about people who have money that might be in the way of us having more. Because frankly, how much you create in your life is not determined by what's happening out there for anybody else. How much you create in your life has to do with what you're able to create. When I was doing trainings for a large corporation for many years, in the next room was a program, I think it's called Investments in Excellence by Lou Tice, and Lou was never there. It was a video-based training. And I discovered that Lou made more money not being there than I made being there. I didn't have the goal of making money without having to be there. You might not either. If you don't have that as a goal, how would you create it? That is now my goal. In the future, the majority of my income will come from me not being there. Now, I can still get paid to be there. I want to do that. But I don't want to limit myself to having to have my body be somewhere in order for me to have an income. If you don't create that positive possibility, you can't make it happen. And these books will help you create those possibilities in your mind. All right. You've worried on purpose. You've come back up through saying the truth to yourself. You've discovered where the reality line is, where fantasy is below the line and reality is above the line. Now the next step. We're going to take the first thing below the line. All of these are fantasies. They are all negative by definition because of the questions that were asked. They are therefore a fear that we have. Something we are afraid of happening we wouldn't want to have happen. So this first fantasy we call the first fearful fantasy. Because if you could stop that first fearful fantasy from happening, you prevent all the rest of the dominoes from falling. Can you see that? All the rest of the dominoes fall because that one falls. So let's stop that one. Sometimes when we're worried, we don't really know where to focus our energy. We don't know really where's the best place to take action. We think it's to produce the first fearful fantasy from happening. You do that by looking at whatever that is, and ours is bad reputation, and you flip it to its positive opposite possibility. So what's the positive opposite possibility of a bad reputation? A good reputation. Now let me give you a caution about how to actually accomplish this task. Sometimes people will create what's called the double negative. So instead of a good reputation, what they'll come up with is not a bad reputation. Not as good. The mind thinks in pictures. So when you say not a bad reputation, what's the pictures in the mind are of a bad reputation? If you think, okay, I'm going to stop smoking, what's the pictures in the mind? Smoking. We learned this when we were kids. When we were little kids and we were at the table and we spilled our milk, most parents got really mad at us and go, what are you doing? How come you're spilling your milk? Don't spill your milk. How many times do I have to tell you not to spill your milk? Now, when the kid comes to the table, what are they thinking? Oh, I better not spill my milk. I better not spill my milk. I didn't mean to. I'm sorry. Don't they say that? I didn't mean to. What we want to do is say this. Keep your milk safe. We want to create the picture in the mind. And as soon as they do it, even for 30 seconds, go, oh, you're keeping your milk. You're one of those people who keep your milk safe, aren't you? So that they come to the table thinking, I'm one of those people who keep my milk safe. Yes. It makes a difference how you think. So I want you to create this positive opposite possibility of the first worry and state it in a positive direction. And your partner's going to need to help you a little bit, make sure you got it stated positively. But here's an opportunity I'd like you to consider as well. What is better than a good reputation? Yeah. Best reputation, great reputation. Well, we use this phrase amazing being a lot in our program. So what I came up with is an amazing world-class reputation. And as you'll see, that led us in some directions that we probably would never have accomplished without setting that kind of goal. So with your partner, look at the first fearful fantasy. Flip it to its positive opposite possibility. Work with your partner to make sure they state it in a positive direction and see if they can bump it a little bit better. And write it down. And let's pause to let people work on that for about 5 minutes. Okay, you should now have a goal that you want to achieve. Everybody got a goal that you want to achieve? On your last handout, I'd like you to turn to the last page, and we're going to take some of the information from the previous page and put it over on this page. If you notice in the middle of the page, there's a line. Below the line says fantasy. I'd like you to take your first fearful fantasy, the thing you just flipped into a goal, and write it underneath a line to the right of the word fantasy. So just take the information from the other page and reproduce it onto this page. The first thing below the line, write it below the line and to the right of the word fantasy. Only one thing. The first thing below the line. Anything above the line, write it above the line between the word situation and reality on those three lines. If you don't have anything above the line, then you don't have anything to write. If you have one or two things, then you would write those one or two things above the line. Whatever you have above the line on this page, write it above the line. So you should end up with one thing below the line, your first fearful fantasy. And most of you are just going to have one or two things above the line, which is your reality. And whatever your goal was that you just worked with your partner on, write that up here in the goal circle. And again, if you can think of how to make it even better, make it better. I'm curious, did anyone come up with a goal that's like even better than you think you can achieve? Let me encourage you to consider setting a goal that's better than you believe you could achieve. It'll cause you to stretch even farther than a goal that you know you can achieve. You probably will do even better. Now, we've had you worry on purpose. We've had you then tell yourself the truth about your worry and discover where reality is. Those are the first two steps. The third step, we've had you take the first fearful fantasy and flip it into a goal. Now you're starting to point yourself in the right direction. Now, how to achieve the goal? You want to start with the reality that you have and come up with steps you could take that would move you in the general direction of the goal. The chances of you coming up with anything that's going to just produce the goal, I think, are like nil. What you're going to do is come up with something that would move you in the direction of the goal. So remember our goal, an amazing world-class reputation. We've got work not being done. We've got clients not being reached. That's the reality. Now, the real underneath this reality had to do with stacks. So we went back and looked at the stacks. I have difficulty sitting down and working on material like that. It's kind of boring to me. I'm very extroverted and like to interact with people, and if I sit down and have that to do, I'll tend to pull away from it and want to go and talk and interact with people. So what we found would be helpful to me is to have someone who I could talk with about my stacks. And it was also helpful to people in the business to learn more about what I knew, about what was going on with the business. So from time to time, we'd have a different person in the business come and sit down with me for about an hour and go through my stacks with me, and we called them a stack sitter. So we created a stack sitter to come and sit with Rob to go through his stacks. And that made a big difference for all of us because we got those stacks wheeled down, and people learned a lot, and everybody got more involved. Also, I'm a computer programmer before I became a psychologist. And I wrote all the software that we use to run the business, all the contact management stuff before that was really available. I had the idea of maybe marketing it, but it wasn't a focus and I didn't get it done. But I was still using it in the business, even though it wasn't really serving us well. We realized that that was a block and a barrier because I knew I could fix it, but, you know, weeks were going by, months were going by, years were going by. It wasn't getting done. So we went, like, you know, to the store and spent $200 and bought ACT. And threw away all that I had done, and this program was wonderful. It made a big difference for us because immediately we started being able to track things, because for me it was difficult to sit down and begin the process of calling back and that kind of thing, and this really helped make that happen and got other people involved in it. We have little information cards that when we go out and give a program a presentation that we pass out and people check off, call us, everything. We had a stack of those that we weren't getting back to. So we hired someone part-time, two afternoons a week, to just start following up on those cards. Now, notice, none of those actions in and of themselves produces the goal, but they all began movement in the direction of the goal. We were spending some time in Europe, and we hired a person to market us in Europe. We changed the name from Resource Associates to Resource International. A lot of things moved us in the direction of focusing on a broader vision and improving the quality of things. We hired a graphic design person to redo our marketing materials. A whole bunch of stuff started happening, moving us towards the goal. From the part-time person, we ended up hiring a full-time person. Now, what I'd like you to do with your partner is brainstorm as many actions as you can and write them on those angled lines that point up to where the goal is, like what we did, based on your reality. Looking at what reality you have, what actions could you come up with that would move you towards your goal? Knowing that none of them will produce the goal, they will move you in the direction of the goal. Got it? Okay, we're going to pause the video and give you about 5 minutes to work with your partner to come up with as many actions as you can, and at least four that you could take that would move you in the direction of your goal. Okay. right? Say thank you to your partner. Thank you, partner. Good. Now, you've gone through a number of steps here. Let me have your attention. You have worried on purpose about an important stress. You've said the truth to yourself about what's real and what's not real and found out where the first fearful fantasy is. You've taken that signpost pointing in a direction you don't want to go and you flipped it to its positive opposite possibility called a goal. And based on the reality that you have, you've begun creating actions to move you towards the goal. Great. There are only really three possibilities that you can do with a worry or a stress. You can do the one you've done, which is come up with actions based on reality to move you towards your goal. That's the best one. You may find yourself from time to time continuing to worry about some negative fantasy happening. For instance, in mine, when I was worried about losing the business, being a failure and stuff, what you need to do is come up with a plan. Should that ever happen, what will I do then that will move me towards the goal? So you never give up the goal. No matter where you are on the fantasy list, if any of that becomes a reality, you still have the same goal. So if they're one of those fears and worries that's a really big one, what is it that your plan is going to be? For my plan to lose the business, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go to California and spend a week with a teacher of mine named Elliot Aronson, and we're going to talk and brainstorm about what I'm going to be doing next to achieve that amazing world-class reputation. In fact, I'm kind of looking forward to that. And it's important to have a plan that you would look forward to, because you either can come up with an action based on reality to move you towards the goal, or you can come up with a plan based on a fantasy to move you towards a goal, or you can worry. And how close did that get you to your goal? In fact, it takes you away from your goal. Now, we already have the habit of worry. You are going to do it. Don't worry about it. When you find yourself off worrying to go, oh my gracious, I could have been doing the turning worries in the... Don't do that. Don't add upset to upset. Just as soon as you notice that's what you're doing, go, oh wait a minute, let me go back and do the process. Worry on purpose. Start to say it to myself, and you can train your mind to do this. So that as soon as your mind notices it's looking down a path you don't want to go, it'll go, well, I wonder what's over there. Oh, well, that is what I want to go to. Now, I don't know how to do that yet, but I'm going to start thinking about it, and in thinking about it, I'll move in that direction. W. Clement Stone, founder of Success Motivation Institute, says, anything enthusiastically conceived, consistently envisioned, is inevitably achieved. You may have heard it, anything you want, believing, you shall achieve, shall receive. The idea is to learn how to hold your mind on the goal. W. Clement Stone recommends 30 minutes a day. Just holding your mind on the goal, and your mind will start to generate possible things you could do. You may not know which one will take the step, which one will open the door, which one will produce the result. You do them all. It's a powerful, powerful way of dealing with the inevitable stresses, worries, and challenges in life. My guess is you're going to have lots of opportunities to practice. I want to thank you all for being here today, and I hope this makes a difference for you. It certainly has for me continually when I find myself off worrying and frightened and scared about the challenges that I'm fantasizing are going to be coming. Sometimes they get here, but I'm ready when they are. And many, many, many times I'm able to head them off at the pass. Because remember, when you're willing to deal with something when it happens, you don't have to deal with it when it's not happening. But if you're not willing to deal with it, then you have to deal with the possibility of it happening all the time, even if it never happens. this will make a difference. Thank you all.